You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. Thank you for tuning into the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. I'm your host, Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez. Okay, ladies, a couple things interesting have happened just in this week alone, and both synchronistic and I don't want to use the word paranormal, but let's just say maybe encounters with the unseen. And I will say that it has been quite a while that I've really experienced anything that I can't explain. It happened a lot in my young life with that before I had my kids, and it happens here and there, but nothing really strong anymore. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that, and we'll explore that. But let me tell you a couple things and see what you all think, because of your mindset, how do you perceive it? Well, it was Tuesday, and it was lunchtime, and we have some workers in the house finishing up some work. So they're upstairs doing their work. My husband was sitting down at the table eating. My daughter was at the bar eating, and I was at the stove finishing what I was cooking, and the TV turned on. So I didn't see my husband get up and get the remote. So I just asked him, I said, "Oh, you turned on the TV?" And he said, "No, I didn't." And he had this weird look on his face. And then my daughter turned around and she's like, "You didn't turn it on?" He's like, "No." And I walked over, my dog was on the couch, but the remote was in between two chairs on a little coffee table, a little table. And I just grabbed the remote and I hit off and it turned off. That has never happened ever in this house or any other house I've been at. And so immediately I just kind of went, well, okay, we didn't have a power surge, kind of slowly blew it off. But then later I started thinking about it. And I said, okay, let me work with spirit here. I'm going to ask, was this, because we have been talking about guides and such, right? At the last podcast. And I asked, is it any angelic being that's working with me? If it is, give me another interruption of, you know, electricity. Nothing came, nothing happened. And then I asked if it's a relative, you know, can I get some kind of, you know, name or symbol or anything? Nothing happened. Well, the next day I was in my office putting things together, and I was standing on a step stool, putting a picture right up on the wall. And as I was doing that, I saw a figure to my left. So I turned around to address my daughter, and she wasn't there. And that's when it finally clicked with me. I said, okay, now this is something I haven't perceived in a long time, where I'm present. I feel the presence. Something was just next to me. So again, I inquired about it, and nothing happened. I was downstairs mopping after the workers, everybody had left. I was mopping and I heard my daughter say, "Mom." So I answered her and she wasn't there. So I waited for her to come out, thought, well, maybe she's calling me. She's got to come out of her room. And she never came out of her room because she never called me. And this was now, you know, audibly hearing it. So I really did some pondering, like, okay, something's trying to get my attention, clearly, you know, yeah. Who? And it made me think to a little circumstance that happened when we first moved here. My daughter, I think I told the story and I'll just make it quickly, but I need to reference it. My daughter had had an appointment to go get driver's training with the little car that comes around and picks you up. When she went out she answered the door, the lady came and she walked out. The lady said, "Oh, was that your sister?" And my daughter said, "Oh, I don't have a sister." And she goes, "Oh, I saw a little girl walk behind you. She had dark hair with braids." And my daughter couldn't wait to tell me that one. And I was just so perplexed. And after doing research, the only thing that really came to mind is this area I live in, there was a war, a battle, I guess I should call it, with the native people here, a Cucamongan tribe, and it's all in the area that I live in. And there was, you know, great death and slaughter during that time. Well, I just gave it thought, and I thought, well, maybe if this is maybe not ancestral energy, but indigenous energy, you know, I sent it healing. I said, okay, if you're communicating with me, I send you healing and love and welcoming. But I have, you know, boundaries of, I'm not opening myself to anything. I'm just here to offer, you know, help and love and assistance and acknowledge you for coming through. Well, interestingly enough, my sister then asked me, because I told her some of the stuff that was happening, and she brought up that scenario. I said, no, I was just thinking about it. It's interesting you bring it up. Well, today I was at the market, which sits right below my house, and I had purchased something. I was going to pay, and I had an item that was on the cart, and it disappeared. So I was like, oh my gosh, did it fall? Maybe it fell off. So I tell the lady, I said, can you have the young man go grab me another one? Because somehow it's gone, and it fell off, but I'm surprised I didn't hear it. And she goes, oh, yeah, well, you know, this store is haunted. And I said, oh, well, no, I didn't know. But she told the guy to go get it. And she goes, oh, yeah, it's the people here. I said, the people, like your workers? She goes, no, it's from the land. I said, oh, from the battle. And she's like, oh, definitely. And so the young man comes back, and he gives me the thing. And she tells the young man, did I ever tell you the store was haunted? And he goes, no. And she said, of course, because of the battle here. And there was also a cemetery here, and the people didn't respect the native peoples. And now we have hauntings. And I don't know if that's true about any cemetery. I've never heard such a thing, but it was all full circle in just the couple of days that I even put it out in my head that maybe it was native. And then this lady, right, just brings it up just because I dropped something. And so she brought up this whole topic. So here we go, ladies. I'm going to throw that to you. That's a lot in, like, you know, 2 or 3 days of activity.
Well, first of all, awesome. Second of all, what I think is interesting, and this isn't, I know, going to be our main point, but I think it's interesting that you were saying at first, here's the sign to give me if it's a yes or a no. And spirit's like, that's adorable. And then it like, you know, totally ignores that and proceeds to give you its own version of signs, yeah, which I think are actually more powerful. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be often the case. Mm-hmm. You know, you ask, or I'll ask for validation, and then I kind of have to let go of the reins and let spirit or God, goddess, whatever, you know, whatever an entity, determine how they want to speak to me, determine how they want to give that sign back. There is a, for me at least, a letting go. And I thought that was interesting that you apparently went through that same little dance of saying, okay, if this, I'm acknowledging you, if you can validate, give me this sign, you know, break the electricity again. And it didn't happen. But yet then you had days of synchronicities and signs, and that's really neat. And not to discredit that, not to discount that, because I feel very much you are right. You are having encounters with the spirit. And if you had discounted it because they didn't break the electricity again, all those wonderful things that you went through the past couple of days would just have been lost to the ether of, you know, time.
And it also opens you up to not being so, I want it done this way, as opposed to, oh, they might be talking to me in a different language. And it helps teach you not to be so, I'm going to keep it in this little tiny box on how I want to see it.
Right. I mean, thank you for bringing that up, because there's so many mediums and people who talk about just ask for a sign and you'll get it. You know, that's how you know. But that's usually not how I know at all. You know, it never works, quite frankly. And I to what Angela's saying, it was far more valuable and to me much more validation in that it came through people who weren't even involved in my story, right? Who were just messengers.
So yeah.
That's really quite beautiful. And it makes me think about in the future as I go forward, not like you say, but perhaps open yourself to, you may ask, is it the indigenous people, the energy of this area? Then I welcome you or what have you, and don't say, prove it to me or show me this or tell me this, right? Just let it go. And the sign will come in another form of validation. That's very interesting. That's really, do you think that's, Do you think that's then you're engaging with the energy? That's a form of communication. Is that how you would see that?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. To me, when you just say, I would love to have a sign, I usually say, just please make it obvious, because I will not understand it at first. And that's sort of the only parameter I put on things is just make it obvious. Because then you're co-creating versus dictating to something or someone that's probably done a great deal of work to cross over or to grab your attention. I feel like it's more collaborative and it makes for a more even exchange, which is, I think, also very important as you start to work with, not you, but like anybody listening, work with energies and entities. There has to be this sense of sovereignty on your part.
Yeah.
You're not worshiping this energy that's coming through. You are a powerful being, but also you need to respect what's coming through. Now, if it turns out you feel that it is there for your harm, then you put up your barriers. But even there, come from love and respect. And if it's an entity or an energy that's not, you feel beneficial or has good intentions, then it's a very loving but firm, you're not welcome here.
Yeah, you need to leave.
Any permission that I have given, knowingly or unknowingly, I'm revoking now. And you know, if you feel the need to call in Michael, and usually just Michael, and just say, just witness this and help make this so. And, you know, I'll usually call in Michael if I need my confidence up. Otherwise, I can just be like, I did not give you permission to stay. I do not, you know, this is not going to work. I need you to go to your next best place. Do it with love. Anyways, that was a tangent. Sorry. But that was no really problem. Exciting.
That's okay. Well, you know, it gives people an idea what they can do for themselves.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah.
And let me, so I'm going to, before I take over the show, because we will get to you both, but because this has all just been in 1 week, you know, it's just, so I feel like this is related. And I had texted you both, but I'm going to elaborate on my story of the L, because it's just one thing after another this week, and we made it to Friday. So God, we talked about this on the show, girls, a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about an L. I don't know why. And I said, oh gosh, I haven't seen an L. Or we were talking about the book, The Messengers, which was a book that was written by a man who believes that these L's are spiritual beings that are actually messengers. And he even believes there's a ET tied to it. If not, perhaps another entity. I can't even think of the word, but excuse me. Anyway, I had been thinking about that. I take out the dogs every night, I'm walking out. And I had thought about that conversation we had. And I just thought, I want to see an L. And as I was coming back in the house, I just saw the swoop of an L just go right next door. And I was just elated. I was just like, oh my gosh, I got to see, you know, I didn't really get to see it, but I knew what it was. And I gave thanks. Well, that was a couple of weeks ago. Well, again, right after the TV thing, which was Tuesday, this was Wednesday night. I was going to turn off the barbecue outside. I'd been using it. And I heard the hoo-hooing of an owl. And I said, oh my goodness, I think the owl's back. And this night was so interesting because it hadn't gone quite dark yet. And there's a trail behind us. And it was just filled with people walking and biking. And there was noise next door of just this banging. And there was birds. We have these birds and there's oak trees all in front of us. So at night, it's like an apartment complex come to life. Everyone comes home and they're talking, you know, they're chirping and birds are, you know, feeding. It's so beautifully loud at night. But in between all this chaos, this hooing kept going. So I stood outside by the barbecue and I was mentally talking to the owl saying, so grateful that you came to visit. I'm so excited that, you know, perhaps you even live in that tree. And I was giving it love and I said, I would just love to see you so, so much. I would just love to see your majestic self. Please, you know, it'd be a beautiful gift for me. And I stayed there for a little bit and then I had to go inside and he just hooed. So I went upstairs and I have a balcony that faces that tree. And I heard the hooing again. So I went out to the balcony and I was just telling him again, oh, you're still here. But then the hooing came to my left. And I said, oh, you're not in that tree. you're further away at that other tree. And as I turned, I was waiting for the hooing. Then I heard it and it was just so loud. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where are you? And I turned around and I looked up, and right above me on the actual chimney was this ginormous owl. I didn't even think it'd be that big. In my mind, I kept thinking it was this little owl. And he was just sitting there and he was just moving his head around. And I was just so in awe. I was so excited. Oh my gosh, this owl has let me see him. It was just like he answered my wish and he was talking to me. And he just sat there and I started videoing, taking pictures, and I'm mumbling to myself. And I just don't want to leave the moment, but I want everyone to see. And then my pup was out there, and then he turned his head and he looked the other way and he was moving around. And then he turned his head and looked straight down at my pup. And my pup's too big for him to get. But anyway, he just like looked at me and looked down, and I went, okay. So I grabbed the dog. I took it inside and I went and called the family. And I said, you guys, you're not going to believe what happened. The owl I was talking about is here. So they came running upstairs. I told them, slow, take one step out carefully in the balcony. I didn't want to scare him. My son took one step, put up his head, and the owl flew off. And he goes, well, that was fun. But that was even better for me because it was about, I took it personal, right? He let me see him. I kind of wish I would have stayed there all night. But the point is, I think I wouldn't appreciate it even more so in that, hey, I gave you your show. I'm out of here.
You asked, like, right, just for you. Absolutely. Nobody else. Yeah.
So let me ask you both. Okay. To me, I took that as manifestation. I took that as spirit communication. I took that as, gosh, mm-hmm. just really being in the moment, but also with what's going on with possible native energy. Do you think there's any connection? What do you guys see as?
Yeah. I mean, what I love about it is I feel like, again, we're in a time where the veils are thinning, where this sort of like ask and you shall receive. And if you want to see things, you know, you'll see them. So I think it's all tied up, not even necessarily to the Native American energy, but to just the fact that you have crossed some or turned a corner and you're open to this. And it's, for whatever reason, it's time for you to have this experience of you know, the nature, communicating with nature and really having a conversation. And that, I think, was the owl acknowledging your request. And then with the spirit world, I think just all that work that you've been putting in towards it, I think it's all kind of coming together right now in a beautiful way. And you're just in flow. So whether it's you're communicating with the spirit of this Native American or indigenous child or with an owl, it's just like you're in the flow right now.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful.
I remember you going through like an ego death to Stephanie's, mm-hmm. and you expanded and then you're at this level of spiritual maturity where you're open more to accepting what comes in and not demanding what it might be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Heather. That is allowing it, like you say, not demand, not. And you notice what I didn't say the whole time. I didn't say like, why was he here? What did he want? Right. I just was grateful that I even got to see. Yeah. Exactly. That was enough. That was all I needed. Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say.
So that's that maturity. And that's that.
But also that, okay, I see you, owl. Now, let's prove that this is what I think it is by having, let's say, either another owl or a pigeon. I'm flexible, but have that come by. You know, you didn't do any of the qualifying. You accepted it. You know what I mean? You really, you took spirit at its word and you had the faith to say, this is how I'm going to interpret it. This is what it means for me. And so I think it just kept building. Like you were doing that all week. And yes to this, you know, and I don't want to say to any of our listeners, I don't want to say never question. Mm-hmm. I question a lot when I see signs or when I'm talking to my dragons or whatever. I'll say, okay, I don't think I understand you. I have faith you're here. I don't have faith I'm translating this correctly. And so it's a subtle shift there. But you were accepting it and allowing it to come forward versus needing everything to be vetted. And so it just kept building on itself, which is really neat.
I'm going to hold on to that phrase you said. I have faith you're here, but I don't have faith I'm translating it right. I use that a lot. I like that.
Yeah.
I use that a lot when I'm having an experience that I'm kind of thinking, oh, I think I might be crazy, especially because I'm visual in the sense that I see things in my mind's eye. So I will see like pencil sketches suddenly start. But sometimes I feel like, no, I'm directing that. That's not the same as when they're inserted. So then I'll say, you know, to my guides or whoever is trying to communicate, I have faith you're there. I don't have faith right now. I'm translating this correctly. I think I might be generating it. So if you could work with me to get out of your way as you try to communicate with me, you know, so you're not denying. You shouldn't, don't spend any energy suppressing what you're really thinking about it. You do have to be open to the idea of it, but you also have to be realistic. If you really don't think it's happening, don't sit there and try to suppress that feeling.
That was really good. I like that. I like that a lot. All right. Well, let's move on to someone else's story for
Heather.
Me? Heather, come on. What do you got? Who are you seeing? What's going on? Well, what's been a significant sighting with your eyes that then turned into, you know, anything else that you kind of see as magic or communication from spirit?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean,
okay, well, pick one.
Well, that's why we said Heather, you're up.
So I remember, I remember the first time I had contact, and it was 106 degrees out. It was hot. And I was on my lunch break, and I was at this little vegetarian taco stand. So I'm just sitting there, and I focus on these kids that are also there. And this poor guy has a plaque psoriasis on his skin. And I was just kind of zoning in for him. And I was like, ooh, poor guy, come for a Reiki treatment. And then all of a sudden, my head gets really dense and my heart starts beating really fast. And it dawned on me that somebody wanted to use me as a communication tool for somebody that was in this crowd of kids. And I was just like, and mind you, I had just taken a medium spiritual ship kind of class and learning how to talk with spirit and whatnot. So here comes the knock, and I'm just like, oh crap. And you see me grab my tacos and I run off to my car looking like Whoopi Goldberg from Ghost, like, okay. And I was like, yep, I don't know what you're saying. I'm just going to go to my car now. See ya. Bye bye.
I'd love to help, but oh, I can't.
I don't know what you're talking about, because I didn't have faith in myself. I didn't have faith that I would understand the message coming through, even though everything in every fiber of my being wanted to talk with spirit, because ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to be that medium that would help cops find cold cases, basically work on cold cases for the police department and the FBI or whatever. So nope. Yeah. You saw me run into my car going, okay, well, I just don't have the confidence yet. Come back when I do. And it, you know, it just doesn't work that way. And then I think, you know, there's something to say about spiritual maturity, because until recently, I would be constantly be getting nagged while I'm in bed, and they didn't have permission to contact me while I was in bed. So, and I would tell these spirits did not have permission to contact me while I was in bed. Each time I woke up to move over or turn around, it was constantly buzz, buzz, buzz. And I was like, no, I get to sleep. You do not. So I think until recently, within the last week, Stephanie, it was before I would just call in my team and have my team take care of it and escort them out. This time I turned over in bed and I saw this woman standing in front of me with her palm up saying hello. And I was just like, okay, you don't have permission to contact me, but you know, thank you, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Please leave. And she left. So I go back to sleep and someone else comes in, a very strong, much stronger energy. And I was just like, holy bananas. This entity is very powerful. And I said, I treated this one a little bit differently. And I was like, okay, what's your name? And he's like, Sam. And I said, Sam, you do not have permission to contact me while I'm in bed. And he said, why not? And I said, oh, it's going to be like that. I said, okay. So I said, you know what? Leave now. Why? And I said, you know what? You can ask that of my team. So I called in my team and I said, team, would you mind explaining to him why he can't contact me? So after that, I kept on having to tell him, leave. And I saw him go a little bit more distance off in the way. And then I said, leave. And he would get a little bit more faded, a little bit more faded until he was completely out of the picture. And I asked my team to do a sweep of my property to make sure that he was no longer there. So I go back to sleep after that. And then I wake up for the day and my soul comes in and says, we're taking your buffers off. Whoever wants to come through, it is up to you now. You have reached a level of spiritual maturity that you can handle this self without calling in your team and letting them handle it for you. There's that, bananas. And then, I mean, I've seen dragons. I had a dragon just that was there for training purposes. And immediately when I came out of the dream, there was the pigment on this dragon was red with gold eyes, and he was this most vibrant color that's not even comprehensible. I've never seen such a color saturation while being awake. So I know, I was just like, oh, there's a dragon in front of me. There's a red dragon. So, and I know that he was just there to let me know that there is places in my energy field and my body that still need to be worked on and to be coming up to be healed. So, you know, it wasn't a pleasant dream that I had with him, but at least he was there to let me know that this is going on. So yeah, that was an interesting one. And then I was also at a Reiki share, and we were doing a meditation, and this guy in a suit came up, and it was kind of like a pencil sketch. And he was just standing off, and he was waiting. He was just waiting for me to acknowledge him and say, okay, I'm ready to talk to you. And that was the first time I've ever had, that's the first time I ever had a really true and polite being wait for me to acknowledge his presence and allow him to come forward for a message. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, what are we going to do? Like, and I totally forgot about him. And then when I forgot about him, he started playing with my hair. I felt that at the crown of my head, and they're playing with my hair, and I'm just like, go away. I'm meditating. You got my, and I was like, oh, there's a person there. Hi. And lo and behold, it was a message for somebody that was at the house. And I just said, I didn't get anything, but he's there. And they're like, okay, we were wondering if he was around, cause we were feeling somebody. And I said, okay, then it's this person's dad. So he's around with you guys, just to let you know.
And he let you see him physically. You saw that. Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah. And then you were able to sense and get touched on top of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and I see really orbs cool. all the time. Mm-hmm. And I see flashes of lights everywhere.
Okay. With the visual eye or the again, the mind's eye. The visual eye, you see the orbs, everywhere. And auras. Okay.
I've just started, the aura started coming up more and more for me. Yeah.
Do you see them more with, I find that auras for me are very easy to see on trees and plants, much harder on, and Angela says, yes, much harder on humans. It's very rare. But if I look at a tree, I can see the aura immediately, but I don't see it in color. I just see the energy pulsating around it. You see, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you see that too. Yeah.
I see that on people. I see the bands on people all the time. And I see it on plants and animals all the time. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it in color.
Right. Right.
And I think they call that the energy band or the one that's closest to the body. Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You feel the energy.
And that's another thing I think a lot of people do. And I know that for a long time, I was like, oh, that's just my eye playing a trick. Like I thought, ooh, is that the aura? And I talked myself out of it. And that's something that people listening might actually be seeing. So practice when you see a tree in the distance. If you see that band of sort of luminescent around it, and it's very subtle, but you're seeing an aura. Absolutely. You're seeing an aura. Yes. And you probably, if you relax your eyes, can see it on a person next to you, but don't talk yourself out of it. You probably are seeing it. Sorry, that's just want to interrupt. With
no, no. PSA. You know, well, with that, go into some of your significant sightings, Angela.
I don't see anything so far. I remember seeing little flashes of silver light off to the corner, but then I read that that actually had to do with blood vessels in the eye. So I was like,
why'd you read that? You
don't. I know, right? And I was
that
like,
might be for somebody else. Come on, that's not one size fits all.
No, it's not one size fits all. But it resonated with me.
Did it?
And I was like, oh, bummer. But that's what I'm talking about. It's like, I'm not going to lie to myself. If I don't think it's true, I'm not going to lie to myself. Because there's always going to be another chance, right? So there's always more opportunities. You know, spirit's not going to be like, well, you blew that, so be a muggle. That's never going to happen. You're always going to have other opportunities. But so
I always thought that happened. I thought that happened to me. So after the taco stand incident, I didn't have it for close to 2 years until I got contact again.
Well, now if you're afraid, then they're going to be like, okay, we don't want to freak you out. We're the good guys. So we will wait.
I wasn't quite scared, but I had a lot of self-doubt.
But you didn't act on it, you're saying.
Here's the thing. Here's what I mean by scared. When my grandfather passed away, who I loved very much, I woke up one night and I felt something in the room and I knew it was him and I couldn't handle it. To this day, I regret it. I've asked him to come back, and it was in that time right after someone's passed away, you know, that really great window of time. And there was a level of being scared, of not knowing how to handle the moment, of it maybe being too big or too real. And so that's what I mean. It's like, okay, well, then we don't want to scare you. We don't want to make you uncomfortable. So then, you know, now it's like, okay, let's start to do the work. And honestly, I've never wanted to really, although I'm open to it, I've never really been driven to work with passed over spirits, you know, seeing ghosts. It wasn't like Heather wanted, you know, that was a passion to work. So, but if it had been, that would have been something that I would have started to be like, okay, let's increase my comfort level because I want to have this experience again. And I'm going through that, you know, I keep saying, okay, I want to talk to the Galactics. I want to do this. And then it's like, well, hold on. Like what we were saying the other day, it's like, well, what would I talk about? That freaks me out. So there's a level of me that's resisting it, right? Once I get them in the room, it's like, hi, here's my room. This is a picture of me. Here's where I eat. Like, what am I going to talk about? You know, because I'm thinking, you know, okay, how are we going to save the world? But really, they're not going to show up with blueprints and like, okay, so here's what you're going to do. It's like, I need to make it more realistic.
I just marvel at the things we all think about differently. Like, right? That's your concern. You got to have the right question. That is so
I won't
hilarious.
Be a good hostess.
Yeah. That's remarkable.
And I've been really in training for the last 8 months of how to, do you have a message for me? That's all I say now. What is your name and do you have a message for me? It's a trip. So I highly suggest if they come through you, you know, please, you know, ask for a name. Tell me your name. And is there a message for me? Don't ask. That's one thing that my team has trained me is don't ask. What was it? It was, God, what was it? It was giving your power away. It was, how can I help you? No, don't do that. Because I would go like they would walk up to me and I would ask their name and I was like, how can I help you? They're like, don't do that.
No, see, I don't think that's a problem. But maybe there was a different intention behind it with you.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's different. So and that's another thing for everybody listening at home. You know, words mean different things to different people. Yeah. We all have different histories with, like to illustrate, and this is totally non sequitur, but I was saying to someone's child, you must be so proud of yourself because they had just done something and they're like, yes, I am. And she told me later, oh, that's so funny you said that because my dad used to say it in a negative way, like, oh, you must be proud of yourself. And she had to like stop for a moment. So just to say, everybody has a different set of history with words. So if we hear us saying, oh, that doesn't work, or oh, you need to do it this way, take that as a starting point and then personalize it. Just that little clarity. But to what you were saying in terms of not being afraid and how can I help you? What I'm working on right now, because I've been uncovering all the little hidden resistances. And this is true of any form of manifestation. You say you want money, but you have a negative viewpoint of rich people. You know, that's like the standard example they give. So you have to get rid of that negative feeling. So
and you don't I've been really worthy enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all of these little hidden triggers. So I've been working on clearing out these hidden triggers so that I can see my team. So I could see Galactics, whether it's visually or in front of me, but have my sovereignty while I'm doing it and not feel like, what are we going to talk about? Which is a sense of worth that I'm working on right now, that I can call them in the room. I can have a conversation with them. And that's okay. And I'll know how to end it and I won't feel weird or so. I've been working a lot on that.
That's a good
totally
point.
Get off topic.
No, that's a good point in working with anything, whether you again see it in your mind's eye because there's going to be doubt, or you see it with your visual eyes, there's still going to be doubt. So I think what you brought up there on what you're taking away, it made me think about what would mine be. And I just what flashed to my mind was I think it's about what I've carried is being judged on sharing what I see, right? Being deemed, okay, not even crazy, because I've never even thought of myself crazy in anything I've seen. But I guess it would be deemed, oh, you think you're special, you have something. Mm-hmm. So I think therein lies my hang up. I had I consider it significant sighting. And it was the reason it is insignificant is because it was 1994 and I forget the actual date. So it was January. You'll see where I go with this. And in the night I had been watching TV with my husband and I saw behind the couch, a black cat's tail just go walking by. And I just did that double check, like, oh my gosh, I just thought I saw a black cat go. We didn't have a cat. We didn't have a dog. We had no pets. And it just went rocking by. I just thought, well, okay, that's crazy. But again, that had been a lot of what I was used to, just seeing little things. Well, that early morning, I had been up early getting ready for work. We had the Northridge earthquake. And that was a doozy. And I always was very concerned about, oh my gosh, it was interesting why I saw something like that. And then this big thing happened. Well, I've since seen animals here and there, and I've seen cats again, and I don't have a cat. And every time I've had a sighting of it, like, oh my gosh, I just saw a cat go by, I get so worried that something, you know, bigger, bad's going to happen, because it's like, I put those two together.
You conditioned yourself.
Exactly. So, because I'm always looking for meaning, right? Because I'm always looking at this had to have happened for a reason, right? Or this was the message. So I married the two. And that probably was something that limited me also. So it's another case of how we either put our beliefs or our story onto something. And the bigger picture may be, you know, I don't know what. I don't know. But I thought it was an interesting thing that I did with this sighting so many, many years ago. Now, if I see something, most of the time it's my beautiful little pup that transitioned 4 years ago. I see her go here and there around. And I do mean with my physical eyes. I mean, I'm not seeing her literally taking five steps and jump. No, I just see the whoosh of white and I know it's her. Yeah. And then I bend down and I act like she's there, because to me, that's validating that she knows I see her, so that we'll continue to have communication, right? Because I tend to follow that belief that if you have spirit trying to talk to you and you keep denying it, then why keep trying? So I always try to entertain it, like, and not entertain, but certainly to validate, like, okay, I see you, I feel you, I thank you type thing. So have you, either one of you ever put a story with something that happened and you've done that where you've made it maybe something it's not something, and whether it's visually, audibly, internally, and now it triggers you, like, now, you know, I think there's going to be something big just because I see a cat's tail.
I mean, but here's the thing. I think that's what you have to do. It's all trial and error. You know, we're always learning our own language. So I think you did the right thing. Okay, I saw something that didn't happen before. And then a freaking earthquake. Yeah, I'd be putting them together too, you know? So I think that's the way to do it but always be asking yourself, okay, let's refine this. Because the interesting thing is, you saw a cat where there wasn't a cat. And now you're saying whenever you see a real cat, you put it.
No.
Okay.
No. I still have seen, you know, cat, and it's always like the tail and the back end going by. I've never seen a cat's face, and you know, with my mind, with my physical eyes, it's just like, I'll see the wish and I know, you know, well, you know, like, it's very hard maybe to explain to listeners, but I know you both know that if you were to sit and you've had something walk by, you sense what it is, right? And yeah. You sense, I can tell the color, and I sense if that it's a cat. I know it's not a dog, I know it's not a chicken. I know a cat just is what I glimpsed, right? So like that.
Have you been asking to refine your understanding of it?
No.
Interesting. I wonder what would happen if you did.
Okay, so say that again. What do I, am I asking to refine my understanding of it?
Yeah.
No.
You came up with sort of a broad, like, okay, right. This is what it means.
Yeah, and I never asked for guidance or help.
Which
or
is very surprising, because you always ask for guidance on other things. But when it comes to this, you're like, nope.
No.
No, I figured it out.
Let's put that in a drawer and forget about it.
There's an earthquake somewhere. Yeah. No, I never thought about that. Perhaps I'll entertain that thought process and go in and look at that. Huh. That's
right. Yeah, because it might have been just a coincidence that the earthquake happened and it was actually telling you something else. But I think we all have to start somewhere. We have to say, okay, this is what I think it means until spirit directs me otherwise.
And go ahead.
Oh no, that was it. I was going to say,
well, and maybe I've missed the bigger picture, which, because what came to mind as soon as we started saying that, I'm saying, what if it's like, you know, a totem animal or like a past familiar, a familiar that works with me. And it did warn of an earthquake, but at every other time I've seen it, I'm just expecting only an earthquake. And I haven't seen the other things it's told me about. Right.
Yeah.
So exactly. Because like something else could have happened. It doesn't have to be devastating, but other things have happened. And it's like, no, it's not always an earthquake. Yeah. You're only seeing it.
First thought.
Yeah, it's like when you were saying, okay, person who turned off my TV, if you're real, do the electricity again.
Exactly.
It's like we're narrowing.
Eliminating again. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I wonder how many of the listeners out there do the same thing. You know, we put parameters around something and then expect it to be a certain way. Right. And how can you open yourself up to not, you know, it's going to take practice. You know, but be more cognizant. And as soon as you're more cognizant of it, I bet you things will change.
And be flexible. We keep throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Like, well, there weren't earthquakes, so that means nothing. Meanwhile, discounting the fact that you're seeing the energetic stamp of a cat walk by. Pretty darn cool. And two, you know, just giving it one shot of interpretation and being like, that's it. All right, never mind.
That's a great, you know, observation for both of you. I never even really thought about till talking right now. And then, you know, seeing how that looks, it's so dialed in and so narrow-minded if I were going to believe in magic, I could believe in the vastness of it, but it was being forced, you know, on such a limited view. Wow.
There's two different languages trying to be spoken here, right? Can you imagine if somebody was speaking a different language said, I'm sorry, are you saying like ice cream? And you're like, no, he's talking wine. This conversation's over. It's like, no, you know, like we give living people a shot at hearing us again or giving ourselves a break if we misunderstand something, instead of saying, well, I'm a muggle, never mind. That's not true. You just are learning the language. And I'm saying this also for myself, because I tend to do that. Well, that's not where my gifts lie. It's like, okay, well, if I keep doing that, my gifts are going to be in a smaller and smaller area. Whereas, you know, maybe if I just give it a chance to develop or to try again or to allow it to unfold to me, sometimes I think we interpret too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't that like a natural response, because we're so used to the right? The mind has to give it a definition, an understanding.
Right.
So what would you say if we're interpreting it too soon, then how do we do this then?
Go to your heart center.
Okay. So you see something and right away then go to the heart. Like, what am I seeing? What am I feeling? What am I experiencing? You talk to it.
Yeah. Do some self-inquiry. Like, what is this that I'm seeing?
And patience. Like for me, if I don't get it, I can be like, okay, I really want to understand this over the course of the next few days or weeks. Can you get the answer? Like you said, sometimes the answer comes from someone walking by that says something random and you're like, oh my God, that's the answer from 2 weeks ago. And you know it. So yes, Heather's right. I think going up to your heart, getting it out of your head, I'll go to my heart. I'll think, okay, what am I truly feeling right now? What was my first instinct? And then if I still don't understand it, then I'm just like, okay, I had a teacher tell me she would put it in her, she's Bon Buddhist. So there's some term for the energy center, like around your solar plexus. And I forget, but she would put the question in that. She called it her cauldron. And then she would wait for the answer to come, and it would come in the next couple of days or weeks, but just like
percolated with that.
Yeah. Let it percolate. Because you're dedicated to getting, you're dedicated to communication, correct communication, not getting it right in the moment.
Right.
So.
And we're so used to instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And you got to allow time for universe to set up the answer.
Yeah.
So can a person go, okay, so I was a different person then. I would imagine I'd handle it differently now. I imagine. But can one go back and look at an experience and still do this process that you ladies are talking about? Can I look at that situation of like, well, I think I already did. I said, oh my gosh, what came to mind was familiar or a totem animal. So see, it just came kind of because I'm seeing it in a different purpose. Okay. So it's never a closed door. We can always see if we've got something more to learn from it once we get off the label or the story that we've attached to it.
And what's coming through to me is knowing what the purpose is. If the purpose is to learn how to do this and you are dedicating yourself to understanding your language, that will give you a sense of patience and a sense of the answer doesn't have to come right away, because this is a long-term, lifelong quest that I'm on. I'm constantly trying to refine my understanding of spirit and my ability to pick up, transmit and translate spirit free of distortion. It's one of the things that I'm always telling myself. And that does not stop next month. It's a lifelong process.
When you were talking about that, because that's such a deep soulful way of looking at it. And I kind of laughed because I thought, can we just sometimes just see something and just say, okay, I just saw that. And not have to know what it's about. I've told this before and I'll just get to use it again quickly. Last house, sitting down, having a sandwich, looking out the slider doors into the garden, and literally in a flash, just saw this like giant T-Rex face come over the fence. And I just like my heart beat and I just took a quick glimpse. And then I thought, what, WTF right there, what is in, what am I eating? I mean, what's going on here?
What mushrooms did I eat?
And that wasn't, and now I'm sharing it on the airwaves. I only shared it with my daughter ever because it was so ridiculous. Is it ridiculous? So here's a case like that. I never needed to know anymore because I didn't even want to know. But then if I were to think about it, I would say either was it a time warp? Was it, or was it a reoccurring, action, the energy of the past just boom. And I just tapped into it because I was just maybe daydreaming, having my sandwich, but this was with the physical eyes. And what was interesting about it is my heart started beating. So there was a physical reaction to what my eyes were seeing. So there was communication in the body, like, this is out of place, or run for your life, or, why are you eating at a time like this?
No, I think sometimes it's okay to let it go. Sometimes, I remember one time I was in the bathroom and I was brushing my hair. And this image of the moon with wooden boards nailed across it, like very like boom. And I'm thinking, what the, WTF, try to make sense of that. Now, come to find out, when you talk to the galactic community or the UFO community, there was stuff, I guess, moon bases. I don't know. I don't really understand all that. So it did, I could find a bit of a logical, might be a stretch for the word logical, but I could find a bit of a logical reason why that came in, but it was just so literally my eyes are open. I see it like the way you saw the T-Rex, and it like startled me, but I was okay. Sort of like, if there's a future or a further understanding, if I could be of any service, let me know. Otherwise, I'm open to having those flashes. I love those flashes. But beyond that, you know, I once saw a very vivid, in meditation, all of a sudden I had a vision of sort of a reptilian, and it was muted and they were yelling at me. And I like, and there was something I was supposed to do to help. And I said, Spirit, you know, if you could help me understand. But I was getting more and more pulled out of the meditation, the more I was trying to help. So I was like, okay, this is going to be lost. And I thought, I'm sorry, come back to me when I have more skills. But at this point, this is, I can't help you. I don't understand. And the vision went, you know, there's only so much you can do sometimes.
Mm. That's a good point. Do you agree with that, Heather? Have you just observed things and not had to explain them to yourself or do anything? Like Angela says, is just accept it and let it go.
Yeah. I mean, on a level of, I've had a lot of animals. And my animals, after they've passed, they've always been around. I still feel them sleeping in bed with me, and they still curl up next to me. So I just take that for what it is. It's just my animals. And then I remember my significant other, he's like, oh, I don't believe in ghosts and I don't believe in anything like that. And, you know, here he is. He's like, you know, your cat's crawling across me. And I was like, I locked my cat out of the door. There is no cat. That's Ghost Kitty. And he's like, oh God.
That is so great. Because you were like, that is awesome. Okay. So the one where you thought you were supposed to, well, you believed you were supposed to get a message to talk to the people, that had a little less fear than more insecurity, right? Have you, right? Because you weren't afraid of what you believed you saw, the pencil man in the suit who needed a message for the kids at the taco stand. Or not, he wasn't, sorry, I'm combining two stories. Yes. Just that message you thought you believed you were supposed to give those kids at the taco stand. That wasn't, you were scared to, it was more, you were, like you said, there, insecure to do
I
it.
I think it was the insecurity. It was the fear that I'm not good enough to give you the message.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Have you, either one of you had fear of what you saw? Like if you saw something either in your mind's eye or physical eyes and you're like, oh, this is scary. Boom. And it, you know, and Angela's shaking.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was first learning how to work with energy, before I realized I was the one turning the energy. So it would be like 3 o'clock in the morning and my eyes would be closed, even though I would know, okay, I'm in bed. My husband's next to me. I'm awake, but I am about to fall back asleep. And all of a sudden, all these beautiful like images of dragons would suddenly just come towards me. And it's different from when you can sort of create it in your mind's eye. This is like being created in front of you with, I'm not driving it at first, right? It's just there. And I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. And just as I was sort of going to merge with the energy, like really communicate, I freaked out. And all of a sudden, all the colors started turning black and the energy started becoming drippy and droopy and bad. And that scared the heck out of me. And when that happens, when you get scared, do your protection spells, you know, do your prayers, call on Michael if you need to, Archangel Michael. But what I came to realize over time was that that was actually my energy that was warping it. And that's why all the masters say it's so important to meditate. It's so important to do all this sort of self-inquiry and this work so you can root out the muck from you, what's in your subconscious, so that your subconscious doesn't start to imprint this very neutral energy or start to warp, distort the entity that might be trying to talk to you, because your own fears are getting projected because you're in a state of I call it wet clay, where anything can be imprinted on it. So you really have to keep your mind. It's a discipline. So yeah, I've been scared. And one time I did sort of let in an entity that was very negative. I don't know if it was an aspect of myself or if it was actually, at the time I thought it was another entity completely separate from myself. And I was feeling like little bites all over. Like all of a sudden my skin got really agitated, and I felt like pain in the back of my head at the base of my skull, which is a place where spirit can enter. Brought it up to this class that I was in at the time and got soundly doused with Palo Santo. And like everybody's like saging me and just like, oh God, what did you do? Since then, I now get where my own fear, my own subconscious biases, not biases, but my own subconscious issues made it worse and gave whatever this was even more power to unfold. And so I did the right. Oh, and it altered my personality for the next couple of days. She was
crunchy.
Great. Just angry and seething. So, you know, slight possession perhaps. But I did the right thing. I reached out. I mentioned it to people who are wiser and smarter than me. And I brought in Michael. And now, since then, when I'm observing an energy or an entity, I very clearly say, I am in no way giving you permission at all to attach to me. Right now, I'm simply observing you. So thank you for being here. I appreciate that. I'm observing you, and you cannot attach to me in any way. And if I get nervous, I'll call on Michael. But since then, I've really, being human is a very powerful thing. We are the creator gods. You are very often one of the more powerful energy in the room. But we've been trained not to own that. We've been trained not to believe that. So any little doubt can be used against us. So it's practice. So I would say bring in your angels, bring in whoever, like I bring in Sipigama, a goddess from the Buddhist religion, bring in Jesus, you know, like you're tried and true, like you have no doubt they are on your side, and have them stand next to you as you practice. It's kind of like your mom and dad holding the back of your bike while you learn to pedal. And then slowly, as you begin to believe that when you say, I rebuke you or I cancel this agreement, the more you believe that that is actually true, the more it is. So it's a nice back and forth. So the answer is yes, I have been scared. Now having come out on the other side, an incredible learning experience that I'm very grateful for. But that said, to anybody listening at home, that's not a blanket statement, because you might be tapping into things that were far more powerful than what I was tapping into. So just be smart about it, but know that you are strong and you are powerful, but you still have to do your own work and get rid of your subconscious hiccups and fears, because when you're in that energy, you are manifesting. It's like being in a dream. It is being in a dream state, a lucid dream. When you're in a dream, and we've all had that experience where you can kind of feel that you're directing where the dream is going. Well, that's what it's like. So you have to be very disciplined in your mind so that you know when to pull the cord and you know how to stay calm when you're talking and keeping that energy on an even keel.
Yeah, definitely has a lot to do with our beliefs, right? So if you're believing that, first of all, anything spiritual is negative or scary, that already is setting the precedence, right? So like you say, know yourself, work with yourself, bring in your protection. And probably in the beginning, if you're not used to it, it's going to be scary. You're still going to react. But then over time, you develop a comfort level and acceptance. And Heather's shaking her head. Yeah. Did you have to do that, Heather? Did you have to build up, or were you always pretty much from the get-go accepting of spirit?
No, I had to. Well, I accepted spirit, but I had to build up to it. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I would say mantras that had protection in it until I was comfortable enough to know that I didn't need protection any longer. Mm-hmm. I realized and understood my sovereignty. And so, that took a long time. It took several years to realize that, you know, I am a sovereign being and you can't touch me.
And the soul is incorruptible. The body can be messed with, but the soul is incorruptible. So if in a moment of panic, if you just go to your soul and you're like, this is divine, this is God, this can't be altered or, you know, taken over in any way. That also helps. Sorry, totally jumped in.
All right, ladies, I think that's all the time that we have today. We'd like to thank the listeners for tuning into the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within.
thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the three intuitive healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.